So I have like a Mahalach piece I want to give out. I can't say I rehearsed it well enough, as if it's going to come out as smooth as I intended. I'm hoping it does, but I had a little time over Pesach to gather the thoughts and put them on paper at some point in time. So hopefully, as I say it out, it'll get more organized. I have this little negiah in the back of me that, if it comes out nicely and smoothly, I'm up for a high school shmooze sometime in the next couple of weeks, and maybe we could turn it into something. I have a whole different angle to take in the world of high school, which obviously, as you may recall from your past, is a little different than the real world, which I hope to head that way also, Bez Hashem, at some point. So in literature, there's something called the turning point. The turning point is often sometimes described as a climax. It's perhaps the most exciting part of the story. Everything is sort of riveting and waiting, and then all the action, it rises and it hits the turning point, and questions are answered, secrets revealed, conflicts resolved. Everything comes to a close. It's just that time that this big change occurs, and then things move from there in a very clear direction. Though in the fake world, certainly if you're watching something or reading something that someone else created to get your excitement, that idea of a turning point is very blatant. But in life, it's usually not so clear like that. Yisro Salanter says that we have the ability at any given moment to make a decision for the good, or chas v'shalom for bad, and to completely turn ourselves around from whatever we are. And it is indeed possible that in a moment's time, a person could be kona olamo b'sha'a achas and change his whole being and who he is with his own turning point. But the reality is, for most people in most situations, it's not as clear as that. It's not that they look in their life and they say, okay, there was that one move. I had that big decision. I wasn't really up for it, but I pushed myself, went beyond, I conquered that nisayon beyond belief, and everything changed. It's certainly possible, and we shouldn't give up on it. To look at the reality for most people more like Rav Dessler's Nekudas HaBechira. Rav Dessler talks about the concept of Bechira, sort of like the way I see it is almost a sliding scale, that there are certain mitzvos that right now, in Derech HaTeva, in the normal mode, are a little beyond what I'm up for. I perhaps, unless I make this amazing Herculean effort like the Rav Yisrael change, I'm not going to have kavan of every single word of Shema Yisrael. And then there's the other extreme of certain averos that I wouldn't go near. Let's say for me, it would be, there's no way I'm skipping Shema Yisrael. There's no way I'm skipping a tefillah. Perhaps by accident, it could happen, but I'm not skipping. But within that range in the middle, there's the area of Nisaron, the area of challenge. Okay, I'm going to daven, but how well will I daven? How much will I push through the davening, say the words, not say the words, have some kavana, have left kavana. And within each of us, there's this nekudas habechira, this area where it's our real challenge. As we start doing things that are good, then we start moving it up the ladder, up more and more ability to do things that are better. Chas v'shalom, the opposite. That's a little more of the way most of us function. In fact, even when there is a turning point, I was reading a story recently. It was a biography. It's a story about Rav Belsky, who was Nifter not so long ago. And Yisrael Belsky, when he was young, he was Hashem blessed him with a superior intelligence. He was a brilliant young man. And his teachers knew it. And apparently in some test that he took towards the end of high school, I don't know if it was an ACT, SAT, or something like that, the State Board of Regents, they recognized his talent, and they offered him a letter, offering him a full scholarship to any college, which would have been an amazing opportunity, doors open to future in academics, Parnassa. He was offered that after his year in 12th grade. And he was a good boy, obviously, in high school, and he cared about his learning, but he also had his friends. He was American born. And he had this challenge placed in front of him. After working through it, he asked them, perhaps I could take a year off and push it off because I want to go learn for a year. I want to go learn for a year in Israel, Lily. Have the year off. So he sent his official request in writing. The board met on it, and they came back with the decision that they're not granting him permission to do that. Just take it or leave it. So he had this big decision that was in front of him. It wasn't not really any way to wiggle out. Either you take it and you have this chance of a lifetime, or you stay and learn. For what, at that point in time, his mind was possibly just a year. So he made the decision to stay and learn. Parenthetically, after he made that decision, he got a follow-up letter from them that they reconvened. And I don't know, they didn't necessarily know that it was because of that he already made the decision to move on. But they reconvened and they said that they're willing to give it a year off. And they actually, at that point in time onward, changed their policy, giving a chance for any student to take a year off to study before doing college, even if they had a scholarship. So I'm sure he helped a lot of others, but that's not what did it. What did it was that first decision for him. And he stayed for the year and then another year and the rest of his life and learning. I think, wow, that was probably the turning point of Sobolsky's life. And when he graduated high school and was going to become a Ben Yeshiva, Ben Torah, go to college. And then I started thinking a little more and realized that, how do you think he got to making that decision the way he did it? There was a lot of pressure. It was a relative of his, similar to a story that they say about Byron Cutler's sisters, or a relative of his said some line about, he could have become something, and now look what he did. There were people that didn't recognize the value of this decision that he made of great Mesiras Nefesh. But it didn't happen in a moment. It happened over the course of his years in yeshiva. It was one day that he had a good day of learning and he connected with the learning more. It was another time that he connected with his Rebbe more. It was a different time that he conquered a certain Yisayon and felt good about it. And over the time, as he continued to grow in his ruchnius, inside of him, that desire, that connection for something deeper and something stronger and something real, got to a point that when this Nisayon came his way, he was able to make the right decision. So of course, it was a moment decision that you can call the big turning point if you were writing the book. But it wasn't really a decision of a moment. It was a decision over the course of many, many small decisions. And that's really what I wanted to focus on a little now. That a lot of times there are big decisions that we could look back at or we could look forward at and say, okay, this is the decision, I know what it's about, and I'm going to do the best I can to make the right decision. But very often, it's the product of many small decisions, little moves that can make a big difference. And the value of each small decision in so many different ways can affect us. I wanted to give a few, I don't know, call them mashalim, but really a few angles on why small decisions could propel us in significant ways. And hopefully because of that, if we could get better at making the small decisions, which often are not as hard, are not as challenging, then as a result, Mamela, the big decisions will in a sense be made for us. In preparation and thinking about this idea, particularly when speaking to alumni, I had this Deher, which I'm sure you've all had in your lives. I remember when I was in yeshiva, years in yeshiva gadol and beis medrash. At the point I was not doing college. I had done that first actually. And what was my biggest nisayon? Every day I came to learn. I said, how much sleep to get? These little things that when you're in yeshiva, it's a little more clear. The path is sort of paved. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But when you're in the real world, and you're in real life, whether you're up to the stage of having a family or searching for their family, parnasa, questions in business, things are much more gray, so much more unclear. And when it comes to decisions, it's not so obvious. I know this is the right decision, but do I have the strength to make it? but it's more, what is the right decision? Which way do I go? And perhaps if we get better at making the smaller ones, which might be a little easier, it might make it easier for us to see clarity in the bigger ones, though very often we need to have that person to be miyayetz and advise us. Let me just bring out a few of these ideas, a few of these, Michelle. They're all famous ideas, but when you package them together, it's a very powerful punch. So they talk about lines that are almost parallel. Lines that are almost parallel. So parallel lines will stay on the same path forever. If lines are almost parallel, it could be a quarter of a degree off. But over the course of many inches, feet, kilometers, miles, however you want to measure it, we can measure it in time, days, weeks, months, years, they're not too close to each other. And that's one aspect. Sometimes we make a small little move, a small little decision, and we probably have had these things in our lives already. Just something small I decided to just go one way. And that just led me in a certain direction. And once it led me in that direction, that path came with it some other things that made life a lot easier with it. There's another mushel that comes with this. It's a much stronger mushel, but I think it's a different vart. Maybe you'll agree, disagree. But we're at the train station, and there's two trains. One's going east, right? You're in Chicago. That's the mushel they give. One's going east to New York. One going west to California. Right now, they're a few feet apart. But you go on the wrong train, and you'll be thousands of miles apart. It's a similar idea where things are so close, but making that one decision will take me places differently. The way I differentiate between the two mishalim is in the first mashal, Itaka was a very small decision I made. It wasn't the biggest deal in the world. But sometimes small decisions have small impact and then has another piece of small impact. And over time, it just separates more and more. The other mashal, sometimes I know that this is a challenge. Once I just make that little jump, which right now is not the biggest deal, but once I make this little jump, there's no turning back, potentially for the good. Say I have a certain job offer, and I decide that this job offer it's a very lucrative position, and the potential for financially is good, but I decide that for my ruchnius, it's dangerous. The reason why I think for my ruchnius is dangerous, and I consult with people on miyayetz, and though I think it's really good, but the psaka comes down to me, and the clarity that I get, let's say, is that it's not the right thing to pursue. It's not the right thing to pursue. That decision I make, I tell the person, no, thank you. That once I set that emotion, that's it. I won the rest of the nisayon because it's not coming back to me. It's gone. That's more like the mushel of the two trains. But you're just that one little step, and you're miles apart. Now, maybe you'd call that a big decision, but sometimes they're small decisions. You know, in the high school version of thing, it'll be you're with some friends, and someone asks you to come with him somewhere. You say, I don't know, I'm not sure. Oh, come on. You say, you know what? I'm a little nervous about where it's going to lead me. And you don't do it. That not going there, but you're not with a certain chevra, which would have been et cetera, et cetera. We have all these types of things in life where these one little steps just puts us in a different place. I'm on the right train. There's another component in the value of each decision is that when we do things that we perceive as right, and I guess call it having conquered the Yetzer Hara, listening to our conscience, doing what we feel is right, that creates within us a certain feeling about who we are, a certain view of ourselves, a certain vision. That view that we have of ourselves, that picture is very, very powerful in helping us making future decisions. Because if that vision that I have is someone who is a Ben Torah, someone who's living a life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wherever I am, if I have that view, then it's much easier for me to take everything else in that same light. And sometimes we do things that we start questioning that. It's a mistake. because Hashem doesn't see us any differently, but we sometimes do. And for ourselves, there are certain things that we can do that could shift that view and say, yeah, Taka. Again, in the high school picture of things, you could have a guy in shir that says a nice pshat. And the Rebbe says, wow, that was amazing. And the guy says, really? Me? I said that? I did that? I could do that? And then suddenly he changes his vision of himself. You have an opportunity for something you could get involved and start and helping Tzibur, a big project, a little project. And you get involved, and all of a sudden you turn back and say, me? I was able to do that? Hey, I guess I have a lot more that I could accomplish than I ever realized. So, mashal I was thinking about is they got into chess recently over here. There's usually rounds over here in the high school of chess. There used to be, I don't know how many you were here, when the teacher, Mr. Gilliego, was around, the English teacher. He used to do a chess enrichment. So he did it the second half of the year, not necessarily every year, and it just got the chess juices flowing. Guys got really into it. So this year it just started. Maybe it was because of COVID. Some of the ball playing and some of the other things were not feasible. And the guys got into it. And Marshall, I was thinking of a chess game. Imagine a guy who plays really hard, thinks about his moves ahead, but makes a calculated decision. You know, pawns can't really do much. They move slowly. They don't go backwards. They get stuck. Like a pawn, if there's something in front of you, you're not going anywhere until there's some guy at the diagonal. You know, I'm not going to pay so much attention to my pawns because they're not, these are little stuff. They're not going to make such a big difference. I'll protect my queen, use my knights. They have nifty moves. They can go over things. I'll care about the other pieces. The pawns, whatever, here and there, you give a few pawns away, it's not going to make a difference. That guy's never going to win a chess game. Because if you don't care about those little pawns, it's not going to work. We have to care about every little move, every little decision, every little step. Those things add up. Sometimes it'll be like the parallel lines. Sometimes it could be as great as those two trains. Sometimes it'll just be the way I view myself. And other times it'll just be small steps adding up. But each decision is so powerful. This is, if I was a motivational speaker, which I'm not, as you probably realize, but if I was a motivational speaker, I could have given this same speech for people who should, driving themselves to accomplish in life. And you want to get up every day and get going. Nothing to do with Ruchnius. But when you put this in the realm of Ruchnius, there's a beautiful Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos that adds two more components to it. That makes the power of each small decision even greater. The Mishnah says, Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis, Benazei Omer, Havei Ratz LeMitzvah Kala Kebachamura, run to small mitzvos, like more serious mitzvos. Borech Min Averim, run away from Averis. Why? Shemitzvah Goreres Mitzvah, there's a power that one mitzvah causes another mitzvah, Va'avero Goreres Averu. Why? Sheschar Mitzvah Mitzvah, Schar Averu, the reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah, and the reward of Averu is another Averu. So Rabbeinu Yonah says there's actually two different components that Ben Azai is teaching us in this Mishnah. Number one, that there's a concept of hergel, of habit. But he particularly talks about hergel in the sense of getting closer to Hashem. And he says that once a person does an action, that action brings him closer to Hashem slightly, then that next Nisayon, he's a different person because I'm not the same person I was before. I'm a little closer. So the next Nisayon that comes my way, well, I'm living life a little more with Hashem. It's much clearer what Hashem would want me to do, and that's what I want to do. And then with each subsequent decision, it's more and more clear to him where he wants to head with it. So it's not just you make a good decision, you get good at it, but this decision creates a certain kesher, a certain closeness and relationship with Hashem, that when we do a mitzvah and something that's right, that power and pull, the magnetic force of being there with Hashem could pull me to do other correct decisions even more so. And the second part that he says, schar mitzvah mitzvah, he says that's a special, unique matana, a unique gift from Hashem, that Hashem rewards us. You do a mitzvah, then Hashem says, you did something really good. Okay, I'm going to give you a little extra power, force. I'm going to give you a little extra ability to go and do something else because that it's a reward you get. Not the reward, the reward in Shemayim you'll get too. But in this world, I give you a reward, a special siyat d'shemayim, a special help to go do something more. So when it comes to doing mitzvahs beyond the idea of small steps in the general sense, when it comes to doing mitzvahs in particular, we do a little mitzvah, and it could be any mitzvah. It could be something maybe not related to my big nisayon that's coming up in 6 months from now that I don't realize, but every little mitzvah we do, it could be one little one a day. It could be one something we took upon ourselves. No one in the world knows it except us. But that little thing creates that little extra connection to Hashem and gives me that clarity that enables me to get that big decision right when I get there, because I built up small piece after small piece after small piece. It sort of reminds me of when my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, Hanoch Zatzal, used to give a shmooze. And he gave the shmooze with very little applications. Guys in yeshiva used to drive him crazy because you give me a shmooze, I want you to apply it to show me where you're going with it, and then I'll take it with me. It's not just this exercise in Chachmas HaMusar. Is it Mukhruch? What questions could you ask in the Chazal? Give me the message and tell me what you want me to do with it. What's the message, Rebbe? What are you telling me to do? Yeshiva wouldn't do it. Well, I went to Yeshiva to do it. So one of the reasons was because when he applied it, when he gave an application, he felt that it minimized the shmooze. Because why should the shmooze be a shmooze about talking during davening? The shmooze is about a certain understanding of life that's bigger than any one application. So other reasons. Also, if he applies it for you, so then you'll say, what are you telling me to do? I'll decide myself. But the goal of a mature person listening to the shmooze is, okay, I got the message. Okay, let me figure out how to apply it. So let me apply it to my life. So just as a closing thought, I'm always big into giving shorter shmuzin, certainly shorter vadim. But as a closing thought, I realize that in the world of applying it, I'm speaking to people, myself included, many different places in life, many different stages, going through many different challenges, and I couldn't possibly in any way apply it, which when I give this shmooze b'ez Hashem to the high school, I think it's going to be much easier to talk about, because there's a specific type of challenge you're all going through at a certain stage. But once you get out there in life, things become so much bigger. The challenges and nisyonos are things you never could have imagined. And sometimes we're not even sure how to go about it, what's right and what's wrong. Other times we know what's right, but we just don't know how to get ourselves to do it. And when it comes to that, there's no application I could possibly give that's going to say, oh, this defines, this explains it, and go with it. So I sort of taking the approach of my Rebbe, and my hope is that as we get a little greater appreciation for the small decisions, because the small decisions really are big decisions, not just that the value of every good decision is so great, but they add up, and all the other ideas that we mentioned tonight, hopefully we'll have that strength to make a few better small decisions, and Bez Hashem, those big decisions, those turning points that we began with, could catapult us to great heights. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Deutsch.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.